Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock, and you're listening to Between the Lines and WSLR 96.5 in Sarasota, your community station. I'm your host, Gary O, and on this program, we explore in-depth news events and topics of interest about Sarasota with news writers and news makers from our area. Ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR station management or board of directors. Between the Lines is being brought to you by the Banyan Theater Company, which will be presenting three plays this summer between late June and late August at the Jane B. Cook Theater in Sarasota. For details about attending the productions entitled Ghosts, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, get more information at 941-358-5330 or website www.banyantheatercompany.com. Well, a few news items of interest, as we always do at the top of the hour on Wednesday morning. Finally getting some concern about the greyhounds. In 19 weeks, 14 greyhounds have been put down because of racing injuries. One of Sarasota's dirty little secrets, unfortunately. All of these poor dogs being penalized, being put out on that track. State Farm pulling out of the flood insurance program. Not so serious. They were just administering that part of the program, but it does create problems for all of you folks who have insurance with State Farm, signed up for your flood insurance with State Farm, and now the administration of that is going to change, so there'll be more confusing information coming to you in the mail, more forms to fill out, more strange papers coming in. McDonald's has recalled their Shrek glass. Yes, if you bought that glass for your kids, take it back. It's got cadmium in it. Cadmium is not considered part of our normal diet. Very dangerous. I don't know why it took them so long to discover this. The glasses were tested beforehand, but apparently not tested enough. So, if you've got Shrek glasses, get rid of them. And the 9/11 bill that states that all 9/11 operators get state certification and at least 232 hours of standardized training, that's been signed by Governor Crist. Good news. We relate that back to the Denise Lee incident of a couple of years ago. And for those of you who want a break from the action, you can go down to Walgreens or whatever and purchase silly bands, but they're being banned in a lot of the schools now because they're such a distraction. I've never seen these things before. I saw it on a placard in front of one of the Walgreens. I said to my wife, "What is a silly band?" Well, apparently these are silly rubber bands that take all different shapes and letters and things like that. They are such a distraction in the schools, I guess they're almost worse than cell phones. Hard to believe, isn't it? Silly bands will probably be banned in our schools as well. Of course, the summer session is here. There's no regular school in progress, so we'll see what happens to silly bands in the fall. Well, what's on the agenda for today? I'm very pleased to say that we have guests from Habitat for Humanity here this morning, and we are really going to dissect the Habitat for Humanity program in Sarasota, talk about all aspects of the issue. My guests this morning are Renee Snyder, Executive Director, Habitat for Humanity, Sarasota, Inc. Renee?
Good morning, Gary.
If you'll slide a little closer to the microphone, please, that would be excellent. We also have Mark Usher, Chairman of Habitat for Humanity, Sarasota's Board of Directors. Mark,
good morning,
welcome.
Gary. Great to be here.
And Janet Peterson, who directs the volunteer operations for Habitat for Humanity, Sarasota. Janet?
Good morning, Gary.
Thank you for joining us. I'd like to kind of touch on some background first and talk with Renee about her new position. She is new here in Sarasota to the Habitat for Humanity position. And then we will broaden out and talk about the other aspects of the program. Renee, as I said, you're new to this position. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became involved with the local affiliate of Habitat for Humanity?
Absolutely. I am a 25-year resident of Manatee County. However, I have worked in Sarasota County for 23 years. A colleague recently said to me, "Renee, you've been preparing for the last 15 years for your leadership role as Executive Director for Habitat for Humanity Sarasota." And looking back at my career, I believe that to be true. My experience is in the past 15 years is in banking, finance, local government, intergovernmental relations, housing, community development. I've worked in the nonprofit sector and both the corporate world, and most recently spent the last 2 years working in consulting capacity for community development projects.
So this kind of position does not entail being a construction worker or somebody out on site. It requires a broad knowledge of all aspects of business. Is that right?
Exactly.
And it sounds like you have that, I mean, with the banking business and all other kinds of things that really tie into managing what is quite a large enterprise now.
Yes, it is. There's a lot going on at Habitat for Humanity Sarasota, and I'm happy to be here, and I think it's a good fit. It is a good fit for me.
Great. Wonderful. Mark is chairman of the board. I'd like to have you give a description of what you do, what the board of directors does for the local Habitat chapter.
Okay. Really, the role of the board is in a process of evolving right now. Over the first few years of Habitat, we were really a working board where, again, the board members were out there passing out the hammers and the nails and supervising construction and so on. But as we've grown, expanded our mission, you know, to do that efficiently, we need to have more, you know, staff in place like Renee, mm-hmm. and like Janet. So what we're in the effort of doing now is transitioning from a more of an operating board to a governance board, and focus on the things that support the mission as opposed to being actively involved in it.
When you say governance, are you changing the kind of people that have been on the board from more hands-on people to more business-oriented people or people who are familiar with the marketing aspects?
Yeah, that's been a process that's been ongoing for the last several years. What we try to do is get a diverse membership on the board with different skill sets. You know, people with financial backgrounds, people with marketing ability. We usually like to have somebody from the religious community as representative on the board, and try to do things that support the mission in terms of both the marketing, the fundraising, certainly which is important, and the other, again, governance type issues, you know, policy making that helps, you know, direct the staff and then let them do their job. You know.
Now you've kind of evolved into this position that you have with the board, correct?
I started out, you know, typical story as a volunteer years ago, and my wife and I were youth leaders at Church of the Palms here in Sarasota. And we had a program where we would take our youth group out two or three Saturdays during summertime. Got involved that way volunteering. This is back in part of the early 90s. Our church sponsored three new houses in that period of time. And I got more and more involved in the volunteer coordination aspect from the church's standpoint. And was invited to join the board about 4 years ago.
Very good. Renee, maybe you can give us a brief summary of Habitat for Humanity for those who don't know anything about it, how it was created, and how it started in Sarasota.
Given the long history that Mark has with our organization, I'm going to defer to him. I think he'd be the best to be able to share
okay.
that information.
Very good.
Okay, well, actually the history of Habitat in Sarasota goes back 1985. This is our 25th year, by the way. And we're celebrating this year. It was originally, our affiliate was a small grassroots effort, literally worked out of the back of an 18-wheel trailer with a handful of volunteers that formed the original board. We worked, again, as kind of a joint Manatee-Sarasota operation until the early 90s when it kind of made sense because of different market situations and needs that we split off and became our organization. But there were a number of people... and I'm sure I'll forget some, but John Schaub, who has been instrumental in Habitat for many years, Bill Greenewald, who's still active with us, Gwen Davies, who recently passed away but had been an early board member, my father, back 15, 20 years ago, was mm-hmm. also involved in that group, where, again, they literally worked out of a trailer that was hauled around from job site to job site, and at that time we were doing, one-off kind of vacant lot builds. The first big project we did was a Lime Lake project in North Sarasota. It just, over the years, gathered momentum, a lot of momentum and support came from the local churches, which has always been one of the core, sources of support for Habitat over the years.
Renee, is Habitat an international organization now?
Absolutely. And that's one of the exciting things that drew me to Habitat. Having been executive director since March of this year, I don't share the history as some of my colleagues do, such mm-hmm. as Mark.
Right.
But just to know that I'm part of a global organization, global initiative that's greater than what we can do locally is unbelievable.
How many countries is Habitat in, would you say? You may not know exactly. But
I do not know exactly, but correct. Janet?
I do know. 92 countries we're in, and there was just a report released yesterday saying there are 1,500 affiliates in the United States, and then the bulk of that is made up around the world.
Really?
So.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Habitat Sarasota has been an active entity for how long, then?
25 years.
Oh, 25 years. That's right. You did say that before. So for 25 years, it's been a growing thing. I know because I've been a Habitat volunteer myself. I'm not currently, but for 5 or 6 years, I was very much involved in the Jordan's Crossing project, which is now completed, correct?
Yes, it is.
And how many homes were in Jordan's Crossing?
There are 79 homes that have been completed in Jordan's Crossing. The development broke ground in 2002, and the last home was completed in 2009.
Okay. Habitat, how did that get started? Now, I have a name in front of me, Millard Fuller, and I believe he's the founder of Habitat. A lot of people became acquainted with Habitat, I think, when ex-President Jimmy Carter got very strongly and emotionally involved with the project. But could one of you give me some background on who is Mr. Fuller, what he did to get this program initiated, and how it began to take off?
Okay. Millard was really a visionary who saw a need and worked for several years to develop the Habitat model. And for those who aren't familiar with it, basically we have three pieces. We have a homeowner, okay? We've got volunteer labor, and then we've got sponsors who pay for materials. And he and a group of other supporters basically came up with a model that involves sweat equity on the part of the homeowner. It involves volunteer labor to control costs, and then sponsorships. And one of the misconceptions is, Habitat gives away homes. We don't give away homes. We finance the homes at a 0% mortgage, okay, over 30 years to the homeowner, that they have to get qualified for that mortgage, and they also have to participate in the construction of the house through sweat equity hours, actually building their house and helping other houses. That model has just, once they arrived at, resonated, okay, and really, caused momentum to be created with the program. Certainly, Jimmy Carter coming on board gave a lot of publicity to it, a global, appearance or image or whatever. And from that point on, it just kind of snowballed. I was going to mention earlier too that we, with our fundraising here in Sarasota, we actually tithe 10% of our income back to the international organization in Georgia, and a lot of that money is used for the international Habitat projects.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Right. And I know, like with Church of the Palms, when we sponsor new houses, it will raise a certain amount here, but then the 10% of that we contribute to houses. In the past, we've done houses in Malawi, in Africa. We've done most recently some construction working down in Honduras.
Okay. In a moment, I'd like to... Oh, Janet has something she'd like to add. Go ahead.
If I can just add in, one of the things I found interesting in discovering the history of Habitat as well, Linda Fuller, Millard's wife, was actively involved, and she actually pioneered a low housing solution in rural Georgia in the late 60s. And from that, she proceeded to Africa with something similar, and I think the foundation of what we see today is really based on some of the things she discovered way before she and Millard formed their partnership in this.
Exactly. That's what Genesis was an African mission work they did. That's right.
Now, was Georgia the base of operations where all of this started?
America's Georgia, right. Yes.
America's Georgia. And that's really how Jimmy Carter got involved, being the former governor of the state. He had close ties to the whole project when it started, I would imagine. Is that correct?
The story that I read was that Millard Fuller actually saw that Jimmy Carter was in New York City, and attended one project and was so drawn into it that Millard, knowing marketing, knew that that was a great tie-in to have Jimmy Carter on board, and asked him to help tell the mission, and out of that grew the Jimmy Carter projects that are still going today.
Great. Well, we're going to take a little break now. We are talking with Renee Snyder, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity in Sarasota, Mark Usher, who is the Chairman of the Board of Directors, and Janet Peterson, who coordinates the volunteers. North Sarasota Library hosts Family Fun Night. That's right. The staff at North Sarasota Library, 2801 Newtown Boulevard in Sarasota, want to make it just a little easier for parents and children to enjoy each other by hosting a Family Fun Night from 5 to 9 p.m. on Thursday, June 10th. That's tomorrow. Activities for the whole family include games, crafts, face painting, Wii games, and a chance to learn about sea creatures with the Moat Marine Touch Tank. Or even adopt a pet from the Sarasota County Humane Society adoption truck. For more information, contact the Sarasota County Call Center at 941-861-5000 and ask about Family Fun Night at the North Sarasota Library. Here's another announcement of interest, Kids Summer Beach Runs. The runs are offered every week beginning June 8th, that means it's underway now, at Siesta Beach, 948 Beach Road on Siesta Key, and the Venice Pier at 1600 Harbor Drive in Venice. The beach runs are presented by Sarasota County Parks and Recreation and New Balance Sarasota. Registration at each location begins at 5:30 p.m. The one-mile runs start promptly at 6:30 p.m. And the Siesta Beach Run, mostly of interest to us, is on Tuesdays. For more information, contact the Sarasota County Call Center at 941-861-5000, ask about the Kids Summer Beach Runs, or visit website www.parksonline.scgov.net. The phone lines are open if you wish to call in on this program. Yes, you can talk to any of our three guests and ask them a question about Habitat for Humanity. That telephone number is 355-4540. And once again, you're listening to Between the Lines. Our guests, Renee Snyder, Mark Usher, and Janet Peterson. Sorry, Janet, I mispronounced your name first time around. Peterson and Peterson are quite close together, spelling-wise and pronunciation-wise. I'll try to get it right for the rest of the program.
Thanks, Gary.
One thing that I'd like to know is what is going on with Habitat for Humanity in Sarasota right now? I know that the Jordan's Crossing project is completed. I know that funds have been lacking for building new homes. Have you embarked on something new, or are you still doing some building of new homes?
We are still constructing new homes and also participating in the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. I'll get into that in a moment. We are just completing our new construction of our one of our homes on Central Avenue. We've constructed several homes along the Central Avenue corridor, and we're anticipating a closing by the end of the month on that home at 2007 Central Avenue. We've been awarded for our design, construction design on that home, and our energy efficient measures.
Now tell us about this neighborhood stabilization program. I was familiar with a project called Rehabitat, I think, which involved Mark Usher at Church of the Palms, right?
Yeah, actually, it's two distinct programs. Just a brief history of Rehabitat. It goes back about 5-6 years now. It's originally a project that was a cooperative effort between Front Porch here in Sarasota, Habitat for Humanity, and the Global Day of Prayer organization. And from that first year has evolved into what we just kind of call Rehabitat now. And the premise of that program is that we look for houses that need some basic fundamental repairs in order to keep the homeowner in the house. And it's financed basically through a second mortgage that the homeowner has to qualify for. But beyond that, then the rest of the program is similar to our new construction program, where there's sweat equity requirements from the homeowner, but then a lot of volunteer labor to go to make necessary repairs to the house.
Well, I'd love to have a team of smiling volunteers come over to my house and do some painting and stuff. Am I eligible?
Well, there are guidelines you have to apply for it, and similar to what it would be for a new home construction. And basically, we serve, we haven't talked about this yet, but we serve low-income working families in 30 to 70% of median income in the county, okay, which is, again, adjusted for family size and so on. And I'm sure, you know, Janet and Renee could, you know, give more details on that. But that's kind of the target market we look for, because those are the families that, that really can't afford or source, say, financing or help from other areas.
Okay, let's go into a little more detail on this National Stabilization Program, because I know that you have done a lot of work in the northern part of town in particular, where there have been a lot of homes that have been either severely deteriorated or damaged, and people just cannot take care of them. How do you find somebody that needs this kind of assistance? How do they qualify for this kind of help? Can anybody just say, gee, my home's a broken down mess, and I've got a broken arm and a broken leg, I can't get out and do anything about it, do I qualify? Can you go into a little detail about that?
Probably Renee's the best one to talk to us, but just briefly, the distinct thing that makes Rehabitat different than the NSP program is that NSP is based on abandoned foreclosed homes owned by banks. And maybe Ray can explain more how the mechanics of that work.
Yes, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program is part of the federal. It's an example of our federal stimulus money at work, and Habitat for Humanity Sarasota participates in that program through a joint partnership with the City of Sarasota and Sarasota County through the Office of Housing and Community Development. Both the city and county collectively have been awarded $30 million for this program, whereby nonprofits can purchase homes with this money and apply for funding to renovate those homes. And the purpose of the program is to revitalize neighborhoods while at the same time providing affordable housing to low-income families.
Okay.
And our participation in the program is different, if I may say, we're proud to say, than what other nonprofits are able to do, simply by the way our program is designed through our volunteer efforts, and we are able to reach the lower income population through this program where other nonprofits are not able to do that. We are able to sell our homes at much more affordable prices because of our reduced sale prices that are offered through our volunteer efforts.
If I am listening to this program this morning and I feel that I might be eligible for the stabilization program, who would I contact? Who would I make an application to?
You would contact our office, and our you would contact Fred Shirley. He's our family support director. Fred can will take an application, determine the eligibility of the applicant. We have Monday evening, I think I'm losing my voice.
Okay.
We have Monday evening classes, both in Spanish and English, that we offer for individuals who are interested to come and get an overview of our program and determine if they are initially qualified.
If you'd like to clear your throat, just turn away from the microphone there, and then we can hear all of Renee instead of a broken voice, Renee. It's always difficult when you're on the air. And the announcers, there is a cough button around here, so if we have to cough, we can reach you. We can turn off a microphone. But for the guest who's in need, all you can do is turn the other direction and hope that people don't hear you. I'd like to talk a little bit about the program in depth. Somebody who is eligible for a Habitat for Humanity new home, I'd like to talk about that, because there may be a lot of people out there who are working, they have minimal income, they generally may have family members, one or two family members, they may have a handicapped person in their home. They have income, they are working, but they would like to get out of a rental property or a deteriorating property where they live. Can you take us kind of step by step what a person needs to do and what requirements would make them eligible for this?
Yes, now that I've regained my voice. And let me go back and say, I'd like to give out our phone number, so if there's someone listening,
yes,
that wants
do.
To contact us. Our telephone number is 365-0700, and we have a website, sarasotahabitat.com, that anyone could go on and view the qualifications and learn more about our organization and how to become a homeowner. how to become a volunteer, how to become a donor, and a donor as well. But to answer your question, how would one qualify to be a homeowner? There are several steps to go through. The first one being to determine if your resident is in poor condition. These are just some of the questions that we ask our applicants.
Mm-hmm.
Is your home seriously overcrowded? Are you unable to obtain conventional home financing? Can you meet our income qualifications? Do you have a workable credit history? No unsatisfied judgments or liens? And if someone does, we help them through a credit counseling budgeting process. Maybe someone comes to us and today they do not qualify, but they participate in a series of counseling classes to, if they're interested in, to perhaps get them homeownership ready.
It may be a misconception on some people's part. I think some people say, oh, well, they just, any old poor person out there that says they want a house, they make it possible for somebody to have a house, and that is not correct. You don't take on people who don't pay their debts back and this kind of thing, correct? They have to have some sort of proven history that no matter what their problems are, they are capable of paying off a mortgage.
Correct. We're a hand up, not a handout program.
Mm-hmm.
And it is our responsibility as an agency to make sure that those individuals that are eligible for home ownership can sustain that home over the years. So they need to have financial responsibility and the ability to properly maintain the home.
Financial responsibility, what does that entail? Is there an income level which is a guideline, or is that flexible?
Yes, there's an income level. There's a sliding scale depending upon the household size. We serve individuals that are 70% and below the area median income. They're required to have to work on their home that's under construction or someone else's home to contribute sweat equity toward home ownership, and that is an exchange for closing costs that are involved in the home and other fees that are involved.
You mentioned sweat equity, and that is something that I saw very visibly when I worked on Habitat projects. I saw people that wanted a home very badly, single parent mothers. People who had a couple of children, and quite often these were situations where there were single parent situations. Person was working, they were in not nice housing at the present time. They had a very fervent desire to get out of that unpleasant housing and into their own place. They had shown the interest, based upon conversations I had with a lot of these people, they had shown the interest and the desire to leave the kind of housing they were in and do anything possible to get into a better neighborhood where there were neighbors, responsible people around, where their children would be safe. Sweat equity, how many hours of sweat equity, and that's the term you use, and that's the common term I think we're all familiar with. How many hours of sweat equity must a person put in as part of this application process in order to get a home?
Gary, if I may, what we do is 300 hours of sweat equity is required for a single family.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a couple, we are at 500 hours. And when we say those hours, it's the homeowner that is ultimately responsible, and we also form partnerships. We've learned that our volunteers that are working alongside, as long as that our homeowner is on a work site, there is an opportunity for up to two volunteers to donate their hours to help that person achieve their goal. With that, before a homeowner is actually identified as to a particular house, they have given 100 hours of their own time before that house is identified.
So if I know somebody who really wants a home very badly, they come to me and they say, I really want to get a home in the new Habitat community. Would you help me? Would you be a volunteer and help me with my sweat equity requirement? That would be permissible.
That is, once they've been qualified and they've gone through the qualification process with the Family Services Committee that we made reference that Fred Shirley, our Director of Family Services, heads mm-hmm. up. So as they walk in and they go through that first Monday night meeting, they learn if they are a candidate. If they are, there's a one-on-one meeting to take the process further. Once that homeowner is identified, they're introduced through the volunteer staff that we get a chance to meet the homeowner and welcome them to the work site so that everybody at the site is identifying the new homeowner working towards their goals.
Now, I'm sure there's some people out there that would say, well, gee, I only weigh 100 pounds. I'm a single mom, you know, and trying to raise my child, and I can't lift heavy trusses, and I can't go up on the roof and put shingles on the roof in the summer heat. My body can't take it. I'm not built for that. How do you respond to that?
We get all sorts of people, and really by the time they understand what people are doing to make their house a home, they're willing to do whatever they can on the site. We're very realistic of what people are capable of doing, and it's surprising for each person individually to learn that they can do a whole lot more with the help of a team around them. So they don't have to have experience. By the time they're done, they certainly will have it, though.
One of the nice things, I think, about being on site and working with the Habitat crew out there, if you are not a skilled person, and I don't consider myself a skilled carpenter, and I can fix things around the house, you know, and make general repairs, and I can do paint. But when it comes to construction, I don't know the first thing about, you know, pouring foundations and footings and making the fine measurements that have to be done. Habitat has construction crew members that handle those precise things, and they will tell you, okay, I need help over here with this. And sometimes it's just holding a measuring tape, I know, but
absolutely.
You can't measure unless somebody's on the other end under that tape holding it in place so that the proper measurements can be taken. I learned all kinds of things. Not that I'm going to come back and rebuild my own house, but I learned how to stuff insulation inside of walls. I'd never done that before. I learned how to shingle a roof. And good friend Bill Welch, who was on the program last week talking about retirement, he and I would be up on that roof together in the summer heat, and we'd be up there telling stories and pounding those shingles in. And we had a great, albeit hot time, very hot time, up on that roof, shingling, and I learned, you know, the fundamentals of putting on the, you know, the subroof, I think they call it, and putting the shingles on and making sure that the proper number of nails are there to satisfy all of the codes. I learned an awful lot of things at Habitat. So if somebody is listening and they say, hey, this sounds like something I could get into, I got some extra time, you're welcome to come out and try this and different things. You say, I'm not strong enough to lift trusses. I've got a bad shoulder. Okay, you don't have to. But maybe you can paint. Maybe you can stuff insulation. There's all kinds of tasks involved, correct?
There is. And as a matter of fact, when we go back to that NSP or Neighborhood Stabilization Program, those are the houses. We have four of those houses currently going being worked on right now as we speak, and one new construction home. So the what you imagine in an existing house structure and what kind of work needs to happen to make that come up to code and make it the best that it can be for that new homeowner, we work with NSP as well. So we have an opportunity to have people that can just that hammer nails, but there's also just a lot of painting and a lot of cleanup, and we'll find the match for what people's skill sets are. If they're
okay.
willing to learn, we have it available.
Mark has something to say.
Yeah, just Janet can talk for a second, too, about our new online sign-up program.
Absolutely.
That actually, we list all the projects that are currently underway on our website, but also it tells what they're doing that week. So if you have particular interest or something you want to do or even avoid,
okay.
you can go on the website and find what you want to do and sign up for it. Janet, maybe talk a bit more about that?
Absolutely. And I was going to say that your friend Bill Welch was on a roof last week, so it was an NSP house, but we are glad to have him on board. The program that we offer is something called Volunteer Up. It's a program that was designed by an engineer who was a volunteer for Habitat in the Colorado area and saw a need for a scheduling tool that was more effective. And in researching what would be the best way to get volunteers to get the information of where we're working and what opportunities are available in all of our different areas, this has become the scheduling tool that we implemented late last fall and are having a lot of success with that, of letting people know. So as you look at that, you can see our new construction, our NSP homes, if rehabitat is going on, deconstruction happens once in a while, special events, and of course our restore, which we are very grateful for the volunteers that we have in each area that we are working in currently.
There's a lot of camaraderie amongst the workers, correct?
Absolutely. There's a lot of long-found relationships there.
And some people say, well, gee, if I go out there, I get hot. Do you provide water? Do you provide a snack for me so I've got enough energy to make it till noontime or however long you're going to work?
Great question, Gary. We do, and not only do we, but we also, that's another form of a volunteer or partnership. We are really grateful for churches and groups like Sun and Fun during the high season. They make sure that all our volunteers have provisions while we're on the work sites. Our work days are Thursday and Saturday mornings, and it's from 7:30 in the morning until 12 noon. We always make sure the site is closed down by 12 noon. As you know, the summer heat has gotten even by the 8 o'clock hour. So we work from 7:30, and at 9:30 we take a break at any site we're at. And it's a really great time for a fellowship and a chance to really get a little bit of the news of what's happening in Habitat, and also to learn a little bit more about our homeowners that are there and the volunteers that are on that work site on that day.
We're talking with our friends from Habitat for Humanity this morning on WSLR. Renee Snyder, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity in Sarasota. Mark Usher, who is Chairman of the Board of Directors for Habitat Sarasota. And Janet Pedersen, who is Director of Volunteer Operations. You're listening to Between the Lines on WSLR 96.5 in Sarasota. We are talking with the folks from Habitat for Humanity this morning. At 10 o'clock, Reverend Kelvin Lumpkin coming on with Fred Atkins as his guest. At 11 o'clock, Liner Notes. Good programming on WSLR, your community station, 96.5 in Sarasota. Well, let's get back to our discussion on Habitat for Humanity. And there is a place in town that a lot of people know about, but some people don't know about, and that is called the Restore. Renee, can you tell me a little about the Restore?
Yes, if you haven't already shopped at our Restore, you need to check us out real soon. We used to say it was a good kept secret in Sarasota, but I don't think it's much of a secret anymore. A lot of people have learned about us. We're located at 2095 17th Street. And next door to our Restore, we have a clearance center as well. We accept donated items, used furniture, building materials, and through our Restore, a lot of people aren't aware, but we also accept cars for homes. We have a number that you can call to donate a car, which is 1-877-277-4344. And that can be facilitated through our Restore as well. The proceeds from our Restore goes towards supporting our program for the new construction of homes and renovating homes for our family, for our Habitat family.
I have some questions about donating, particularly donating a car. I mean, doesn't this invite somebody to tow their old wreck down there and drop it off and say, well, here it is, here's my donation?
No, we have a process that we go through. There is a third-party organization that agency that handles that for us.
Okay.
So if you call the number I just provided, the 1-877-277-4344, we actually receive the proceeds from that donation.
Now, speaking of donating to the Restore, I brought things over there before, and some of them have been new things which I haven't used. Some of them have been, what's the term they use, slightly used or gently used or something like that. But I'm sure some people say, well, gee, can I just bring any old junk over there? I mean, I've got a toilet I took out of my house, wasn't working very well, put a brand new toilet in. Will they take my old toilet? Can they use my old toilet?
Well, you know how the saying goes, one person's junk is someone else's treasure.
Mm-hmm.
So we take a lot. We're not picky. We're thankful for what we get, and what we're not able to use, we're often able to salvage it. Or there's agencies that are in need for items. We partnership with other agencies and organizations and perhaps find another home for those things that we are unable to use.
Okay, because I always wondered. I know the Goodwill group generally takes most everything. And I asked somebody that worked for Goodwill, you get all this junk that comes in along with the usable items. And she told me that really an awful lot of things that come in there which can't be used can be used.
Absolutely. Recycle. It's recycle, restore. So that's our motto.
I mean, even clothing that has stains on it and stuff like that. There are different grades of clothing from the stuff that's almost new to the stuff that's somewhat new to the somewhat to the items which are somewhat usable, down to the stuff that you say, I'd never put that on, but they grind that up and make it into rags, I guess, and use it for soaking up oil and things
well,
like that.
Well, we do not sell clothing in our store.
Okay.
We leave that to the other the stores that do that well.
So this is all household goods.
Furniture and household goods.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And you say furniture can be a very cumbersome item as well. And
well, we have a pickup service. So telephone number to call to arrange for pickup is 363-0777. 363-0777. And we have staff available on those phone lines to arrange for the pickup.
Now, you used to have another location, correct, when in an old Scotty's warehouse or something. That is no longer a restore location.
Correct. We occupy the part of the old Scotty's store off of Bee Ridge Road as our clearance center. And April 1st of this year, we relocated that clearance center to our 17th Street location, which is right next door to our restore.
Okay.
And we have plans in the near future to open a second restore location, and that's in the planning stages right now.
Is the restore unique to Sarasota, or have other Habitat locations around the country also done the same thing?
Other Habitat locations across the country have done the same thing. It is a national initiative, and we're proud to say that our restore is one of the has received awards and honors and being recognized nationally for one of the example restores in the country.
Well, that's really excellent because the restore has only been open, 4 years or something like that?
I believe we're in our sixth year.
Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Mark, you had something you mentioned to me during the break, and that was regarding the spiritual nature of Habitat for Humanity. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, one of the things that we haven't talked about yet is that Habitat was originally founded as a Christian-based organization, but we actively encourage participation of people, all people of faith. And we've got a wide diversity in that sense, even on our board. And as long as you believe in the mission, we welcome you to come and participate. And going back to what Janet was talking about with our morning breaks, one of the key elements, I think, that makes it all worthwhile for volunteers is we do a short devotional at our 9:30 break, typically on Saturday morning. And the Lord calls you to serve. And there's no more reinforcement of that than doing a devotional when you're dirty, mm-hmm. in the middle of a job site. And I think it hammers home that the real purpose of why we're there and why we participate in the program.
Well, you used a little pun there, hammers home.
Yeah.
Very appropriate for
right.
our program this morning.
Yeah.
On the local level, and talking about the Sarasota chapter only here, what is in the future for the Sarasota chapter of Habitat? What have you got outlined as far as expansion, as far as building new homes? Are you hoping to be able to get additional land for new homes? Let us know what your outlook for the future is.
Well, let me speak to that for a second, then Renee can pick up. But the board started a process about a year ago where we started to do a comprehensive review of our strategic plan. Like a lot of other organizations, we had developed our last plan during the housing boom, okay? And things were going great guns. The market was going to expand forever. Prices were going to go up forever and so on and so on. We went through a land acquisition phase where we bought up every piece of land in Sarasota County that we could, thinking in the future it wouldn't be affordable, so we have to buy it now. Of course, we all know what happened. The housing boom burst. The economy went to recession, and we are trying to again realign what our current efforts are to the current reality. Okay, The current reality is if there's all these foreclosed abandoned homes in Sarasota County, it doesn't make a lot of sense to build a whole lot of new ones.
Mm-hmm.
If we can work through NSP and Rehabitat to put people in abandoned homes or upgrade the standard of existing homes. At the same time, with the session going through the economy, fundraising has been very difficult. There's an article in the Wall Street Journal this morning how we're in the steepest decline ever for charitable giving. It's down to 3.5% nationally this past year for the second year in a row. So actually participating in some of these, the NSP program, the Rehabitat program now, kind of gives us a chance to reload our plan, look down the road, seeing what our new reality should be, and also put together strategies for fundraising and development in the future.
Now, you have a lot of land acquired, am I correct? I mean, you purchased this land several years ago, so there are places in the county here that you can build new homes if you have the financing?
Yeah, actually, right now, land is not the problem, okay? It's more the family and the funding. And again, that's just the nature of the beast with the housing market. So we've got plenty of land. Actually, we've actually sold off some of the land that we did acquire a few years ago. Just from the standpoint that there wasn't a need to develop it within the next few years or foreseeable future. So let's focus, redeploy those funds in a more productive effort.
We've talked about the volunteer base providing their free time, but you have a lot of suppliers locally that have donated materials, correct?
Yeah, and maybe either Renee or Janet can speak more to that specifically.
Yes, we do have a large base of donors for supplies and materials, and we participate in a gift in kind program where we receive donations through a national gift in kind program. So to answer your question, yes, and I would be remiss in even speaking to any particular donors today because there are so many, and I know we would omit someone.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, that partnership is crucial to our organization.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful, and so I'll provide a personal thank you right now for those suppliers who
Absolutely.
Have donated the materials that allow our volunteer workers to go out there and build and restore homes in the Sarasota area. What upcoming Habitat Sarasota events and opportunities are coming up? Anybody can contribute something to that aspect of the conversation?
If I may, I'd like to extend an invitation. This Saturday, we have a dedication for the first NSP house, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program. We're proud to say on Lockwood Meadows neighborhood, it was the first house we did in our program, and we celebrate with that homeowner this Saturday at 12 o'clock noon. The celebration is a laying on of the hands and a blessing and a ribbon cutting where that particular homeowner moved in just several weeks ago, and the volunteers that work so hard behind the scenes, the staff, everyone that made it possible comes together to just tell him congratulations. We share with the ministry and the partners of Sarasota County that made it all possible. So it's kind of the closure that happens from the from when we started with this home.
Other things that might be coming up that people listening out there might be interested in? Any major events? Any ribbon cuttings or a new ground to be broken?
Well, maybe just, again, the NSP program is going to continue for the next couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
And what we would do is encourage everybody to watch our website and other announcements just to be aware of when the project's going to start, volunteer opportunities to help support those projects. And obviously, we're going to over the next few months too start to refocus our fundraising efforts to the future, okay, which involve more new construction and hopefully some more rehabitat type projects. And one of Renee's tasks actually is to get that new plan out and publicize it over the next few months, and so the community knows what we're doing.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a few specific questions now. If I want to donate to Habitat, I don't want to come out and get dirty, but I want to give some funds to Habitat, how do I do that?
You can check us out on our website at sarasotahabitat.com, which gives instructions on how to do that, or you can contact me personally, and
okay.
I will personally be happy to come and meet with you and determine, help the individual decide how would be the best way to donate to our organization. And my direct telephone number is 487-5525. again, if they want to donate to our ReStore, that phone number is 363-0777. And we welcome any donations, and we appreciate everything that the community does for us.
Okay, that's really great, because I know some people still in this world are not computer literate, and of course we get in the habit of talking about websites all of the time. Go to this website, go to the web that website, and I know there are folks out there that say, I can't do that, I don't have a computer, I don't want anything to do with a computer. So the phone number is always immensely helpful, so thank you for repeating those numbers. Once again, let's summarize who to contact for different things. If I am interested in working as a volunteer, Janet Pedersen is my contact. And how can I call her on the telephone?
Best way to go ahead and do that is just call our main number, 365-0700, and the person at the front desk will listen to your needs, and we have a volunteer services department that gets you entered in the computer if you don't have a computer, or gives you the instruction to go ahead and get signed into our Volunteer Up program.
Great. Well, we're running out of time. This has been a marvelous hour. I think we've all learned a lot about Habitat for Humanity this morning. Our guests have been Renee Snyder, Executive Director of Habitat for Humanity in Sarasota. Renee, it's been a pleasure, and I'm looking forward to your filling that slot for a long time and employing some of your new plans in the future as Habitat moves ahead. Mark Usher, Chairman of Habitat for Humanity, Sarasota's Board of Directors. Mark, thank you once again for coming in.
Thanks a lot, Gary.
And Janet Pedersen, the Director of Volunteer Operations for Habitat. Janet, you too, thank you very much for coming in and explaining your part of the total picture here.
Thank you, Gary.
Thank you for having us, Gary.
Ideas expressed in this program do not reflect the position of WSLR's station management or board of directors. This program has been underwritten by the Banyan Theater Company, presenting three plays, Ghost, The Drawer Boy, and Sideman, this summer at the Jane B. Cook Theater at the FSU Center for Performing Arts in Sarasota. More information regarding the plays is available at 941-358-5330.